thing. So the study on both infrastructure improvements are going to be happening at the same time.
So I was looking at Wallace's website. You guys have a lot of people that work there in a lot of different departments. So it's not one or two engineers working on the entire. You're going to divide this up and bring it back together in a comprehensive package.
Yes,
so hence
exactly.
We can do it in a mm-hmm. 6 to 9 month time frame.
They have different engineering expertise
right.
working on, you know, one will one you know department will be working on the retaining wall, one department will be working on right away, one department will be working on survey, one department will be working on hydrology.
So that segues into my next question. Will the study encompass the estimated cost of right-of-way acquisition?
The study will identify what right-of-way is needed.
Needs to be acquired.
Needs to be
but
acquired.
Not the cost.
And then, you know, working with the city, then not it won't determine the cost
okay.
of the right-of-way.
Next question. Could this money for the study, I think it's $357,000, could that money be instead spent on road improvement, road repair, or is that a different
no,
pot of money?
Exactly. So this study is being funded through transportation impact fees, and that cannot be used for road repairs. It needs
okay.
to be used for development, and vice versa. We are not taking money that could be used on maintenance. We are not taking that money for this study.
Okay.
Independent.
And similar question. A clarification, the overcrossing, the bridge that had been estimated at $150 million, that is essentially off the table. That's not being considered at this point?
That's not part of the undercrossing study.
Okay.
That is a separate Caltrans slow cog project, and it is, I don't know, Chris, if you want to take that.
Yeah, I can jump in there and provide some clarification. So up until this point, we have been progressing on that project. We've gotten to a point where the cost increases are such that the city in and of itself is not capable of funding
okay.
that project. Our efforts over the last several years with Caltrans and others, there's support out there. We built a strong stakeholder group for an overcrossing. The funding has not come through. As Leslie showed earlier, we've spent a significant amount of staff time and hired a specialized grant writer, hired a transportation lobbyist, all to create a very coordinated, robust process to obtain funding for the overcrossing. Unfortunately, that has just not come to fruition for a variety of reasons. So we're here today saying that we have significant vision for the airport, significant visions for the surrounding properties. We have an economic development strategic plan that identifies several initiatives that are dependent on a grade separation somewhere in this area. And we as staff, and myself, as part of this internal evaluation, could no longer continue to try to push the gas pedal down an overcrossing, especially in light of the Wellzona project, seeing what that improvement looked like, what it cost, understanding that an undercrossing in Paso Robles will likely be more than that,
mm-hmm.
but we do believe it's much less than $150 million. While I have the mic, if I can, just very quickly, just maybe point out two other things. You know, one, Leslie alluded to it, but studying multiple alternatives potentially helps expedite the environmental process, because Leslie can probably chime in and maybe the team from Wallace, but we'll likely have to look at multiple alternatives in an environmental process. The second thing is that while addressing connectivity to Golden Hill is a great first step, I think we all recognize the benefits of that. The cumulative development at the airport that is happening now and will happen in the future is going to demand a grade separation. And at some point, at some point, development will have to stop until a solution is identified and built. And, you know, Warren and the team, please chime in if I'm misstating that.
Yeah, so we've been studying Airport Road in detail for the last 6 years with the Landing Project. So we've done multiple versions of EIRs, you know, 5 or 6 different traffic studies. They've all concluded the same thing, that the only viable solution for build out of the Airport Road, including the Landing Project, is a grade separation. You can't fix it with a signal. You can't fix it by sending everybody to Golden Hill. You need an overcrossing or an undercrossing.
So just finish my last point here. We talked, and John, you made a really good point about, and Steve, about the airport needing some kind of traffic capacity increase. And that's really based on anticipated growth and acceptance and build out of the spaceport. That's still a work in process, and I think we all have faith that that's going to happen. But it hasn't happened yet. What has happened already is the approval of 4,500 homes out on the east side. Those are being built. I can tell you as a 40-year resident that the traffic impact along Creston and Niblick and Charlet and South River Road is horrendous. It's already. It's not a future problem. It's a problem now that's only going to be exacerbated as we build more homes out there, and we need to build more homes out there. No question about it. But I see that purple option as probably the best solution to help alleviate the congestion that's happening. So people can exit down Airport Road from the east side. That gives another option. Instead of coming over Creston Road, over Niblick Bridge, we need that purple option. Whether we can afford to build it, whether Caltrans will approve it, whether the hydrology will allow that bridge, nobody knows until we study it. But I'm here to tell you, we absolutely need this study and all of it. I like the idea of accelerating the bridge, if that's possible. That's a call by Wallace. But go ahead and accelerate that if you think that'll help. But don't give up on the people on the east side because we need to build something for the spaceport. We have residents that are clamoring for this now.
I hear you on that, Chris. The only thing with your purple line and the connection to Lanay Road area, you got Chandler Ranch, a big section that has to be bought and paid for, and plus a bridge over Werewell here, and then connections getting back onto 46. I think it's good to that's originally what we were talking about. Remember our circle that went around past Robles over to 46 West? That was kind of the thought many, many years ago, 20 years ago. And it never penciled, and I don't think that would pencil right now. Again, to Gregory's point, we have a bird in hand with the airport that can be brought higher and faster if we were to study a more direct route, which we already know our forefathers definitely figured it out before. My question to, you know, with the Wallace Group, there was already a bridge there. And, I mean, we should have some sort of studies on record somewhere about that bridge. Same way with the overpass at Union Road, the PSR that we already have completed. And I don't know how many millions we spent on that. There got to be some data there that we already have in our hand that we pay for that Wallace can pull in. And my point here, I'm thinking I would like to put this off for a decision and have staff get back with Wallace to give us another idea what it could be, what it would look like if we stayed basically on the west side, just for discussion. What's the cost going to be if we stay on the west side of Werewell with a bridge going to airport? I don't think we have enough information here really as council to make a decision, but I'm just throwing that out for discussion.
I thought we were in a big hurry. Time's of the essence. Now we can afford to wait.
Well,
mention
a week
that,
or two.
Whatever we study now can be used later, but we will eventually need to study other alternatives to go through the Caltrans process.
I almost was going to ask you, start putting price tags on every one of those other bubbles, and I think we're going to get sticker shock. We've already done this once with the overpass, same process. We're already at the construction end. We've already done the design. Everything has been done and paid for the overpass. And we're seeing that, you know, that whole project's got to be in, you know, somewhere in the 150 million range, and that's just totally out of our league. I would like to get that same appraisal or that same thought on what it would be just to focus on a more narrow scope versus all the other that we're talking about. I like the purple, but the point is staying focused on what we want to try to accomplish with the airport.
I guess the concern is that if we get to the project study report or the PAED where Caltrans will require the alternatives and we haven't done the due diligence now and we have to pay to look at the alternatives at a later phase and then Caltrans chooses a different alternative, we're it just seems like there's value to doing that now.
Yeah.
Because we will have to do it later.
I know.
Yeah. And we can make a more informed decision now.
Another quick question I wanted to ask, does anybody know offhand what our transportation fund balance is? This is where we're pulling these funds from right now. Do we know what that amount is? Anybody? Ryan, maybe? I don't know.
I'll give Ryan 30 seconds.
He could probably get that answer.
Have the number.
I'm just curious, you know, what our fund balance is. We're going to use a good, you know, a third of a million here to do this. And all I'm trying to say, can we focus it more narrowly and save some of those dollars to go other places versus put it into data that we may never reuse?
Well, Ryan's pulling up that information. I'll buy him a few more seconds.
Sure.
So I think one of the things that Leslie was trying to focus on and is important to remember is when we pick a route, whichever one, and we have to do the environmental analysis under CEQA, one of the questions Caltrans and the CEQA document is going to come back and ask us is, did you look at other alternatives? And if we haven't done that research now, we will stop and do it then. So it will make your CEQA process longer and you'll have to pay for those studies in the future. Mm. Decide what you want, but I just want you to keep in mind that even if you shorten the process, and I'm not sure from the way Leslie's described the sort of dual track, it does shorten the process. That's a question for Leslie and Wallace. It will come back to slow you.
And that's
going to
be a demand from Caltrans, and
right.
That's the way they work.
That's the way they work, and there's nothing I can do about that. So is it more cost effective to do the study today and be able to pull that out of our back pocket when Caltrans asks for it? My answer would be probably yes. But that's up to you guys.
Yeah, anytime you get data sooner than later, it's going to be less money, right? So Councilman Gray.
For the record, Elizabeth, Caltrans doesn't control where we're crossing, only the undercrossing for the 46. So that, I believe, it's really important to remember that, not to be argumentative. What I want to focus on is we have the design of the feasibility study. Accelerate it for the Ware World Bridge, and then look at all the other possibilities, the purple and the red and the green, or the red and the purple one. But get the bridge going, because it works for every solution. The purple solution is a little different, because that road does not go to the 46, it goes under the 46.
Well, even with the Ware World Bridge,
right,
we will have to have looked at other alternatives.
Right.
Because we still have to do the CEQA analysis on that, and we will have to have looked at other alternatives. So it doesn't get us out of the other alternative or no project alternative that's required under the CEQA document that we'll have to do, whether it's through the Caltrans process or through our own.
But the other alternatives exist. It's Airport Road as it is today.
That's a no project alternative. We have to have analyzed additional options besides no project and the project.
For Caltrans or
for CEQA?
CEQA.
John, hang on one question, Chris. I'm going to get Ryan. Ryan, can you give us the amount of our transportation fund?
Yes, good evening, City Council. Ryan Cornell, Administrative Services Director. The cash balance in the fund is right around $3.7 million. We do have projects that are already kind of appropriating those funds. In addition to that, we did plan this in the budget 2-year cycle. And so the fund balance has already been appropriated for this project as well.
How much was that?
I'm sorry? $460,000? Yeah.
Yeah.
For this project, it's coming in under a little under budget, so.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ryan. Okay, Chris Belch.
Thank you. I forgot your name already. I'm sorry. Ethan, In your professional opinion, if we concentrated all of Wallace's assets on the west side only, is that, can you do it any faster than by bifurcating the project?
And less money?
I would just need
I'm not worried about the money right now.
I need to echo Leslie's point of you will have to look at other alternatives later.
Okay.
So everyone's intuition is the west side feels feasible looking at in 2D, but we'll be looking at a list of things that are not just lines on the map, but hydraulics, drainage. We're creating a low point potentially under 46. How do we get the water from there down to the creek? Constructability, as Leslie was alluding to earlier, that red alignment is much closer to those 46 bridges. And so the benefit the Wellsona Road had was you're not near the creek and you can construct temporary lanes in the median. So being so close to those bridges, there's a gap between the two directions. So that becomes a challenge. So looking at these multiple alternatives, in my opinion, is the way to go at this point.
So it kind of reminds me of the old auto parts commercial, pay me now or pay me later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Ethan.
So I have another question.
Pro Tem Gregory.
So, and Leslie, both. So the unusual part of this feasibility study on alternative studies or alternative options is I don't think there's another alternative on the Warwaro Bridge, the blue one. Our alternative options are on the red and the green, or even the blue going on to Paso Robles Street. So how do you deal with that?
Well, the alternative option would be, you know, the full study would be that we looked at the red and blue alignment and we looked at the purple alignment, would be the two alternatives. And then the previous green alignment. I don't know if we could use that.
Chris.
Yeah.
All right.
I just have a couple things.
Yeah, Chris Beal.
So I appreciate the frustration with time and cost and effort that has gone into this and the importance that it represents. Warren, could you bring up the circulation map real quickly and just talk us through how this is part of an overall plan of moving traffic in that direction?
Yeah, so what's on the screen is the circulation element. This is part of your general plan. It's adopted by council. So this reflects your current circulation element. But the key thing to know is Airport Road has been in the circulation element since the 1980s as a connection between the airport and down to Creston Road right here. So it's designed as an arterial to offload a lot of the traffic that gets concentrated on Creston Road and Niblick today. So this segment that's in orange doesn't really exist today as a modern arterial. There's, you know, the old portion of Airport Road, but the rest of it needs to be built. So the alignment that we have is the current alignment with the Overcross and Warwaro Creek Bridge, like Leslie talked about, that's $150 million. Plus, we still need to build Airport Road through Chandler Ranch, so that's probably yet another $50 million. We need some sort of solution to that. So that's what's currently in the general plan. If we come up with this feasibility study leads us to a new solution that hopefully is more cost effective, then we'll have to update the general plan, the circulation element, to now shift everything there. We'll update the transportation fees and everything else and get everything into alignment on this new project direction. And then that will basically give everybody clear direction from developers to investors to the city council to Caltrans on exactly how the city's gonna deal with traffic in the future.
Thank you. So I actually think we have to look at alternatives. That's what like a feasibility study is. And I know that we can all sit up here and, you know, we have a pretty good sense of what the pros and cons are of different options. And it's complicated, and there's things that, you know, I'm not a hydrogeologist, so I don't know how all of that works. But we have to hire professionals to look at the alternatives. And having Wallace have worked in this space kind of before, and having such an enormous data set of prior material, I think gets us a long way in this process. In my mind, and I know everybody's frustrated, and I know this has been going on for 20 years, I recognize that. But in my mind, getting what we're going to get out of this process in 6 to 9 months is really an exceptional product, absolutely. And it is going to be required of our to be moving forward with Caltrans. We can't, you know, there are implications with the bridges. We cannot move on these paths independently. I appreciate wanting to separate it, but in separating it, I actually think it creates more problems than it solves. And so I would just move forward with the staff's recommendation.
Okay, other thoughts?
I think Councilmember Beal put it very succinctly. I don't see, after listening to Ethan, I don't see where this really saves us any time in accelerating just the west side. It costs us time down the road when we have to come back to satisfy Caltrans. And we get on Caltrans' map or on schedule, only to be told, oh, you didn't bring this to us, do it again, and we get, that delays probably another year. If we're really, truly interested in saving time, study all the options now and go into that meeting with Caltrans fully loaded. I can't see the false economy. I don't think that's something that taxpayers should have to burden. And I think we, as Warren said, as part of the circulation, alleviating that traffic off of Creston and Niblick, it's imperative to all of us, but especially our constituents in our southeast corner. Fred, you'd agree with that? Yeah. Thank you.
I've been out there 47 years, and I know that Purple Line studies are going to be so expensive, and we don't even have the right-of-way where the airport road is currently coming into 46 East. To make an underpass. We'd be cutting back so far to make a deep underpass there, it just will never fit. And to me, it just doesn't make sense to study something that would be so far out, but given the fact that Caltrans says we have to do this, that doesn't make sense to me at all either, when we all know, you know, we're all fairly good about design, that it's just not gonna fit. So why not go to the one that's gonna work and spend our money and time and effort there? That's my whole point. We've already even had a dedication of, you know, land from a landowner. So to me, it's gonna be, bottom line, less money. We all know where it's probably gonna land anyway. But to get through Caltrans, you're saying we have to do this.
But we're not giving up any of that dedication, the very generous offer. We're not giving any of that up. We're not turning our nose up at that. It still will come into play. But I think having going through the hydrology studies now, just that portion alone, because you have to do, as we heard, the hydrology study for one bridge, you might as well do it for both at the same time. I don't think that's going to save us any money. Delaying it, it's not going to save us time. I think this is something we study all at once. It's under budget. I think stars are aligning to make this happen today and get it going and get an answer back in 6 to 9 months.
And I thank Wallace for, you know, getting their numbers adjusted to where we even see them now. But I'm just trying to say to the council, focus on what we know is going to work. But Steve?
Well, we don't know if that dedication will continue. If it takes 6 years, you may not want to do it anymore. And I'm not using that as a pressure point. So,
yeah, it's not going to take 6 years. It'll take 6 months, Steve.
Well, 6 to 9 months. My point
so
is
6 years is not accurate.
I'm going to make a comment. So most of the problem with Airport Road, Chris, is the southern part of 46 getting from the existing development to Union Road. That's most of our problem. This purple alignment does not do anything to get you onto Highway 46. It goes under. So for that reason, I'm going to make a motion, and you guys do what you want with it, that we approve the feasibility plan the way it is, except for the purple portion of it, because I think that's too far out there. So that would include the blue, the red, whatever she's got on the west side of Airport Road.
I'll second that for discussion, though. My point is, if we were to bring this back to Caltrans and sit them down and say, clearly, you know, they know the topography out there too, just like they did at Wilsona, that thing got built very quickly after that accident where it killed a local man. And they didn't have a whole lot of other options either. And it happened. So I'm going to ask staff that if we do this, where we can come back and sit down with Caltrans and say a direction from council is to focus on that west side and the underpass, undercrossing right there. The disruption of, you know, the 46 and how that can work. That's why I asked you earlier, how receptive were they? And it sounds like they're very, you know, willing to do it. They won't commit, obviously, I know that. But my point is, we're trying to solve a problem and they need to help. They're a partner here. And so if we give you direction to get back with Caltrans and say, we want to study specifically this route, and given the fact that we're looking at these other two, but they're going to understand too that really the focus is going to be on that west side. Do you think we could get that meeting together where we, if we give you direction, that we might be able to get more focused scope for Wallace to do?
So is the question that we move forward with the full feasibility study with all...
I'm having a hard
time. Is the question that we move forward with the full feasibility study, the full scope on the screen for the $356,000, but then have Wallace start on that work, but then ask Caltrans to just focus on one? Or is the hope that one will quickly rise to the top and become obvious?
Ryan,
Chris, yeah, you have something.
Do you have an estimate on the cost of that bridge over the Guerrero for the Airport Road alternative? Because that looks like a longer bridge than the one we were going to build over Highway 46.
The purple bridge?
Yeah.
So the benefit of, I think there's a lot of benefits to looking at different alternatives, but the benefit to evaluating that particular bridge is that that could also be used for future development in the Mill Road area.
But do you have an estimate on cost on that bridge?
No, that's what the feasibility study would help us with, determining that.
So we still, for the purpose of what you're saying, you're assuming that Wallace is going to be able to get the study done faster by eliminating the purple portion.
Not necessarily.
All of the undercrossings have challenges of accessing 46. I don't see this being any more of a challenge for coming back to Mr. Gregory's point of accessing 46. It still doesn't speed up the timeline at all. Wallace is a large company. They'll have multiple engineers working on different portions of this. We're still going to take 6 to 9 months to get it done. And we'll know then what it costs us, and we'll have better ammunition when we sit down, or they sit down with Caltrans, to say why the purple line doesn't work. But if we don't have that ammunition now,
I get it. Yeah, I understand.
We can't. They're going to send us back.
And that's why I asked Leslie directly, if we sit down with, you know, a face-to-face meeting with them and describe what we're trying to achieve here, are they going to revert back and say, no, we need you to study it all, you think? I mean, is that really going to be their answer?
One thing hasn't been discussed is the acquisition cost on the purple road.
You know what that is?
Well, and I think that's the whole point of the feasibility study.
Thank you.
It's going to take 6 to 9 months, regardless, And if we cut out one of the options, then it's going to take 6 to 9 months to know less than we do now.
Good point. That makes sense.
Well said.
Yeah, there's a nine separate tasks with multiple deliverables underneath Wallace's project study here that they're proposing. And I'm just curious, really how much of that could be saved if we didn't study. And that's why I was kind of asking originally, put this off until Wallace could tell us
Well, I think each task is needed, for each alignment. So each alignment needs survey. So if we cut out the purple, we still need survey. Each alignment needs hydrology in Werewear Creek. So even if we removed the purple, we would still need to do the study. Each alignment needs geotechnical work. Removing one alternative, we still have to do the geotechnical work. Each alternative, because it's an undercrossing, it will take retaining walls. It will take retaining walls. So.
All right.
And I can't speak for Caltrans, but they do seem to be alternative-based in how they make their decisions, bringing alternatives to the table and letting one rise atop.
So we have a motion and a second on the table at this point.
The table?
And just for...
No, just on the table.
On the table. And for clarity, I'm not entirely sure what the motion is.
The motion was to approve as recommended the full scope, they but to exclude the purple portion.
I'm sorry, Councilmember, can you stop? Can you say that more loudly so that everyone can
hear? Yes, the motion that was made by Councilmember Gregory was to approve with staff's recommendation, excluding the purple portion.
So I think that is problematic because we have before you a contract for $356,000 and change with a defined scope of work. I have no idea what the change in value or the change in scope of work would be. So we would need to, my recommendation would be if you want to go down that path is you're going to have to continue it for at least 2 weeks, maybe I don't know.
Longer because we need to rescope and do a
right.
Because
we have to rescope. We have to do a whole new scope of services and get a new cost.
That's why I was asking. Yeah, I thought that we would have to push this back and bring it back to discuss it afterwards.
Call the question.
Well, we'll talk about it here in a minute. But
So what I'm suggesting is that the motion as presented, I don't think works. So I would suggest that perhaps a substitute motion could be considered.
To bring it back?
To bring it back with a revised scope of work.
Call for the question.
On?
We've already called for the question.
No,
okay, we'll call for the question, takes a vote. Takes a motion and a second.
Second.
What are we voting on?
We already got a first.
Slow it down. Okay, hang on. Elizabeth, say this again.
You have a motion before you.
Yes.
To approve this scope of work and the $356,000, but to remove a portion of the scope of work. Right. That is problematic from a legal standpoint in that I don't know what the scope of work is that you're actually approving because the Wallace Company would need to go back and revise the scope of work to take out the purple portion, which I assume is going to have some impact on cost and what you're going to study. I have no idea what that is. And so that's the motion and the second that's before you. We've had a call of the question, which has now been seconded. So at this point, you're in a position to vote on that.
Yes. Well, unless we're still in discussion. We're still discussing.
Correct. You're still at the...
Right. So I will ask the maker...
You can't discuss after a call.
After you've called the question, we can't discuss.
We are in discussion. I called second for discussion.
No. You can't, John. That violates parliamentary procedure.
Okay. Elizabeth?
If I can.
Yeah.
So you were having discussion. There's been a call for the question. That has been seconded. And so now you need to act on the motion at this point.
Ed, say that again.
You have to act on the motion because the question has been called.
All right. So we can act on the motion. Call for the question then.
Councilmember Gregory.
Aye.
Mayor Hammond.
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch.
No.
Councilmember Beal.
No.
Councilmember Strong.
No.
Okay, so the motion dies.
So I motion item K approve a resolution awarding a professional services agreement to Wallace Group in the not-to-exceed amount of $356,583 for preparation of the State Route 46 East Airport Road Undercrossing Feasibility Study, and authorizing the city manager to execute the agreement subject to such minor technical or non-substantive revisions as may be approved by the city manager and city attorney.
Second.
Okay, motion by Bausch, second by Strong. Discussion? Okay, call the question.
Councilmember Bausch.
Aye.
Councilmember Strong.
Aye.
Councilmember Beal.
Aye.
Councilmember Gregory.
No.
Mayor Hammond.
No.
Motion passes.
Okay, so we're moving forward with the project. Okay. All right. Thank you. You want to take a break? Okay, well, let's do a 10-minute break here.
Tonight's City Council meeting is in recess and will return in just a short time. Thanks for listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL.
The rise of Elvis Presley in the 50s might have seemed, on the surface, to have more to do with sex than with music. He came to prominence at a moment when teenagers were growing in numbers and wielding economic clout, while technology made possible the mass medium in which his music could flourish. Transistor radios, portable record players, and, of course, television, where his good looks dazzled perhaps more than his voice. Elvis himself had no conscious political agenda, but he was altering the social consciousness of a generation by turning them on to the power and allure of music, which had sprung directly from black culture. And young white teenagers lapped it up. Elvis would put together a string of hit records in the late 50s, followed by over 30 motion pictures. But by the 60s and 70s, he was overshadowed by more flamboyant and daring musical performers in the evolving musical culture. By August 16, 1977, he seemed more like an afterthought than a revolutionary figure, a man whose legend seemed much older than his 42 years.
Elvis Presley, dead at the age of 42. I'm John Meyer. Elvis Presley died today at Baptist Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. Presley was 42 years old. He parlayed a $4 visit to a recording studio into a multi-million dollar career. He was rushed to the hospital late this afternoon, suffering from what officials say was respiratory distress. The county medical examiner in Memphis, Dr. Jerry Francisca, says
the cause of the cardiac arrhythmia is not known at present time. It may never be known because there are several possible causes for cardiac arrhythmia, including high blood pressure and coronary artery disease, and he had both of those diseases. So either or both, acting together, might have been responsible.
Here in Washington, the White House issued a statement on the death of Presley. A report from Mutual News correspondent Duff Thomas.
In that statement, the president said Presley's music and personality, fusing the styles of white country and black rhythm and blues, permanently changed the face of American popular culture. He was a symbol to the people of the world over of the vitality, rebelliousness, and good humor of his country, unquote. The White House has no plans at this time for a day of national mourning. However, there's speculation that Presley's memory may someday be honored with a civilian medal for contributions to entertainment. Duff Thomas, the White House.
You're listening to The World Today.
News of Elvis's death flashed around the world that afternoon. Yet on the CBS Evening News that night, it was reported after five other stories. But as crowds began to swell into the thousands outside the gates of his Graceland home in Memphis, another chapter of Elvis mania began to emerge. Elvis Presley remains an American legend whose myth refuses to fade.
Tonight's City Council meeting is in recess and will return in just a short time. Thanks for listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL.
Welcome to Heroes of the Air, true stories of those who flew for America and earned the nation's supreme military award, the Congressional Medal of Honor. Heroes of the Air is brought to you by the Air Force Association, an independent nonprofit aerospace organization which promotes public understanding of the role aerospace power plays in our national defense. Your host for Heroes of the Air is Gene Pell.
Oil refineries in Romania that helped fuel the Nazi war machine were the primary target of U.S. bombers in the summer of 1943. They were also among the most heavily fortified targets American airmen could have imagined taking on. The losses were heavy, both in terms of planes and men. One who survived the inferno was Army Air Corps Colonel Leon W. Johnson, who later rose to the rank of four-star general in the Air Force. Over Ploiești, Romania, August 1st, 1943. Colonel Johnson was commanding officer of a heavy bombardment group that day. While proceeding to the target on the 2,400-mile flight, his element became separated from the leading forces while avoiding dangerous weather conditions over mountainous territory. Though temporarily lost, Johnson soon reestablished contact with the third element and continued on the mission, only to discover the target assigned to his group had been attacked and damaged by a preceding element. German forces were fully alerted and pouring devastating anti-aircraft fire into the skies. Enemy fighter planes swarmed everywhere. There was imminent danger of delayed action bombs exploding, and heavy smoke obscured the target area. Undaunted, Colonel Johnson pressed onward with his low-level attack, and through gallant courage, brilliant leadership, and superior flying skill, led his formation in the destruction of the refining plants and installations which were the object of his mission. Colonel Johnson's personal contribution to the success of this historic raid and the conspicuous gallantry in action and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty demonstrated by him on this occasion constituted such deeds of valor and distinguished service as have during the nation's history formed the finest traditions of the armed forces. For his actions, Colonel Leon W. Johnson was awarded the nation's supreme military honor, the Congressional Medal of Honor.
The Air Force Association is proud to bring you Heroes of the Air, dedicated to those who earned the nation's highest military award, the Congressional Medal of Honor. Their service and sacrifice reflect an ideal that puts others and country above self. AFA salutes all men and women in the Air Force who so selflessly serve our country each day at home and around the globe. Heroes of the Air is produced by Pelcom Communications in association with Radio America.
Tonight's City Council meeting is in recess and will return in just a short time. Thanks for listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL.
Call the meeting back to order, and we are at discussion of item number two, appointment of a City Council ad hoc committee to develop the downtown alley beautification and public realm enhancement program. Warren, do you have that item for us?
Yep, this is going to be a nice quick little report. So yeah, this is about appointing ad hoc to look at downtown alley beautification. Just a quick reminder, back in your 2024 Economic Development Strategic Plan, one of the programs was identified as placemaking and looking at enhancing a series of alleys in the downtown. This was then incorporated in your current 26-28 strategic work plan. Objective 5.6, established downtown alley ad hoc committee. So that was recently adopted. We were supposed to do that in August. It is now August. So we want to move forward with that. You have a resolution before you to take two actions, basically. We need an appointment of two council members to sit on the ad hoc committee, and then the recommendation is that they will look at this area in red. So there's City Park, there's 12th Street, 13th Street, so kind of Norma's Alley, but all the connectors to Norma's Alley would be looked at all the way over to Railroad, and then south of the park, between Park Street and Pine Street, would look at those alleys as well. So basically, all the alleys within the red box would be under the review of this beautification committee. So you can adopt the resolution. We could get started with this process.
Okay, thank you. Well, we'll go ahead and open for questions.
I have a question to Warren. Warren, so on this ad hoc committee, it's just downtown alley beautification?
Yes.
Or all commercial?
Just downtown alleys.
In the surrounding?
In the red box.
Okay. What we call the downtown. Right.
Got it. Yeah. Okay, thank
Not
you.
Not just all alleys. Yeah. Other questions from council? Okay, we'll open up then the public. Any comment on this item, please? Seeing none in the audience. Anyone online?
Yes, sir. Jeffrey Weisinger.
Okay. Hello, can you hear us?
Hello, Council, yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you for having me. I'm sorry, I was at the meeting and I had to step away. But I just wanted to talk and advocate for the ad hoc committee. This has been something that has been discussed, specifically Norma's Alley, going back to 2016. I believe, and it's a really important subject for those of us at the Main Street Association, as well as those of us who have businesses in Norma's Alley. We acknowledge that there is several other alleys within the downtown district that the ad hoc committee are going to be looking at, but we are really pro Norma's Alley and hoping that we can put together an ad hoc committee with two council members and invite other members of the community, specifically from the Main Street Association and other local business owners, to get together and see if we can move on this as soon as possible. Again, this has been 10 years in discussion. We've had some great proposals from some Cal Poly students on ways that we can beautify the alley. It is in the heart of downtown. And many of us in the business community around there are very concerned about the safety of locals and visitors alike who are coming down the alley. We need to get that alley repaved, and the trash issue has been extremely important to us. Going back to 2016, I believe $85,000 was allocated or discussed about being allocated to come up with some sort of system that we can all work with to keep the trash at bay, and it is a mess. So I'm hoping that we can get two council members that are very pro-business and pro-community to engage with us in the community to get this Norma's Alley specifically as one of the main areas for business. There's a lot. Most of the other alleys don't seem to have the amount of
okay. Business, thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you for your
down there.
Yes.
So we appreciate it.
Thank you. Anyone else online?
No, sir.
Okay, we'll bring it back to council for discussion and or action here.
Question.
Jim Gregory.
So I'd like to be on the ad hoc, but I wanted to give a little reference on that. I was able to help the city engineer, John Falkenstein, do alley designs close to downtown, and we actually built a couple for use. And one of the things we incorporated was the safety issues that Jeff was talking about, but also using something other than asphalt, like pavers, mm-hmm. and fixing things. And So I'd be interested in, I've spent a lot of time downtown. And
yeah, you got a lot of experience just like Jeffrey. Any other comments?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I'd be happy to serve also. I'm currently the liaison to Main Street and also the liaison to Public Arts. And while they aren't the same, they are sort of
connected,
connected and aligned, and I think that'd be valuable.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for volunteering, both of you. Further discussion? Okay. So somebody could make a motion then on that effect? I'll do it. Make a motion then to have Pro Tem Gregory and Councilmember Beal be our ad hoc for the new downtown alley beautification and public realm enhancement program.
Second.
Okay. So we have motion by Hammond, second by Strong. Discussion? Call for the question, Melissa.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Councilmember Strong?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
Aye.
Councilmember Beal?
Aye.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right, thank you. Moving on, now we have a city manager report. Mr. Huot.
Yes, thank you, Mayor.
Do we need to approve the map?
There was an attachment.
That was okay.
I'm sorry, it was an attachment to the resolution, so it was included in the original motion.
Got it. Thank you, Mayor. Just a few quick updates. Deputy Chief Enns let me know this evening that we've had one engine be assigned to the Gann Fire, which is up in Cabarrus County. We also have other staff up on fires in the Pacific Northwest. So we're doing our part from a mutual aid standpoint. We have those resources assigned. On the fire side, too, it may be in the upcoming event slide, but if not, I wanted to remind the council and the community that we're going to have a ribbon cutting to officially open the Public Safety Training Center over behind Fire Station 3 on the 14th of this month at 10:30 in the morning. Everyone's welcome to attend. We had a coffee with the city last Friday, had a very good turnout, very good program, talking all things homelessness, had a robust panel discussion from a variety of different angles and agencies and individuals, and again, just a great turnout, lots of good questions. We're shooting for August 28th for our next coffee with the city. We'll be back downtown at the Patina Room at Cal Coast. We're going to be talking about all things water in the city, so timely. Topic with the hotter months upon us. And then the last thing I wanted to mention, just again for the community and for the council, is we hit a pretty big milestone this last week. The Parks and Trails Master Plan RFP hit the street, which has been 20 some odd years in the making, a long time coming. So thank you to Angelica and her team for getting that out. And we'll be evaluating proposals here in the not too distant future and coming back to the council to kick off that project, which is probably going to be about a year worth of very intense community engagement and study and work. So, Mayor, that concludes my report for this evening. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. Next is council business and committee reports. Can I start with Ms. Beal? Okay.
Really quickly, I want to thank Christopher for my tank tour. It was great. I think everybody should go visit the tanks, and they're doing their refinish, the resurfacing right now that they do.
Up on Golden Hill?
Yeah. Yes, Golden Hill.
Yeah.
That Rolling used Hill. To be Golden Hill
Rolling
Roads,
Hill,
and
right.
Those of us that are old enough knew that.
Yeah.
I went to an event at the Housing Authority that was both with the mobile, the bookmobile, and the mobile rec on wheels, and it was a comic-themed event. There were some superheroes there, lots of kids, arts activity, outside activity, books, and I just want to commend the community services staff for putting that on. It is such an important opportunity for our youth, and I think it's so important that the city is investing in that. I also went to the Coffee with City. I thought it was outstanding. I thought staff did an excellent job. The panel was very, very helpful. And I think it helped set the stage to really understand how complicated and integrated the issue around housing and homelessness is, and how we need to be looking at it from a different lens. And also, there was a lot of clarity about what the city can do and what the city can't do, and why it's important to be cooperating with our partners. And then I attended the first Public Arts Advisory Body meeting. That was exciting. We set the groundwork, figured out the rules, and watch out. So that's all for me, and thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Chris. Go to the other end. Councilman Bausch.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to start by thanking Colleen Horquez and her amazing staff at the Paso Robles Event Center for delivering yet just another spectacular California Mid-State Fair. The food, the auctions, the exhibits, the livestock, the midway, the entertainment, even the weather. Just amazing. Well done. I'd also like to recognize Sergeant Joe Leonard for his leadership in our police force. That was a huge presence down there. It was, I think I saw him almost every night, if not every night. So thank you, Sergeant Leonard. On Monday, the 27th, I attended a 221 regarding our topic of the evening, this State Route 46 East Undercrossing Feasibility Study. Just want to say thank you and shout out to Leslie and Warren, to Chris and David and Ditas for a comprehensive review and explanation. And I thank you for bringing forth my questions in tonight's presentation. Councilmember Beal, attended Coffee with the City at the absolutely beautiful community room at Sunrise Villas Apartments. If you haven't been out there, that's a great project by Paso Robles Housing Authority. Thank you to Angelica 14 and Ashley Hernandez, even Sergeant Smokey, for an insightful and positive spotlight regarding our local homeless service network and the update on solutions. And along with Mayor Hammond, on Saturday attended another slightly different celebration of America's 250th birthday at Raven Ranch with a presentation and question and answer with Devin Nunez. He's our former congressional representative for our neighbors in the 21st district and currently serving as chair of the President's Intelligence Advisory Board since January 2025. Fascinating insight as to what's happening not just in Washington, but pretty much all over the world. He had something to say depending on the question, so it was a great meeting. And I think those are my comments for tonight.
Great, thank you, Chris. Councilman Strong.
Well, very little to report. I will have more next time because we have a SOCOG meeting tomorrow morning.
Very good. Thank you, Fred. Pro Tem Gregory.
Well, first I'd like to, we have our hearts out for the people in Spokane. I drove through Spokane when the fire started this last couple days. And I just wanted to say how much I appreciate our fire department here and all over the United States. I drove through three fires while I was on my vacation, and we're doing such a good job here in our city. It's just amazing, and very proud and feel very safe because of their efforts to protect us. And good job on the fair, Colleen and staff, and happy to be home.
Very good.
Oh, one question?
Sure.
Mr. City Manager, can we have a Friday coffee on the airport space program, Spaceport?
Yes, Councilmember Gregory, we can definitely look into that. We're actually, David and Jen and myself are sitting down to start to pencil out the next set of Coffee with the City.
There's a lot of people are asking questions, right?
Yes, we can definitely look at doing that. Thank you.
Do we need a consensus from the county?
I think I think I have sufficient direction. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Steve. I attended several different functions at the fair, of course, on behalf of the city, and a great fair again. Colleen Borjegas and her staff did a fabulous job, and weather was still pretty good, decent at that point. Although I think the first day, Wednesday, rope drop, it was 108, but then it went down. Yeah, it was. On my truck, it was. Anyway, it sure felt like it. Anyway, it was good. And the other thing, I have no other county meetings since we've been our last meeting, but I did recently sign on to a letter that we're sending to Governor Newsom and Senator Lemon and Assemblymember Rivas.